This is episode 87 with Ivan Raiklin. Now, before we get started on this episode, I want to really get to know more of you guys. You know, a lot of you have been reaching out to me on social media and asking me questions about my life, asking me questions about topics you want to discuss, and also, you know, maybe, more guests that you suggest that I should interview. And I really want to get more of an in-depth background about who you are. So please let me know all about your life and your stories, and I'll be more than happy to do that. And here is my email address. We get to do so. It's tayoroxin@uydmag.com. So tayoroxin is tayoroxson, and then at uydmag.com. Can't wait to hear from you. Want to know all about what's up, what you're up to, what cross-culture issues you have. And, if I'm near your city, I'll definitely love to hang out and meet you guys. And just thank you for being faithful listeners. I would not be doing this without you. And, this is 86 episodes now, so definitely love the engagement and want to hear more about you. Without further ado, here is the theme song.
Welcome to the As Told by Nomads podcast, where you'll learn how nomads, third culture kids, entrepreneurs, and leaders all over the world embrace their global identity and use their difference to make a difference. And now, having lived on four different continents, here's your host, Tayoroxin.
Welcome, everybody. Today, I have with me Ivan Raiklin, and let me tell you something. This is so interesting. I'm currently at a conference speaking about media and diversity, and I just ran into him, and I will share my story, and I found that he's a fellow nomad, and he just said to me, let's do an episode right now. So we are doing this on the go, on the fly. Ivan Raiklin, how you doing, man?
Great, Ty. It was great to meet you. And by the way, you might hear a little later, we might need to crack open the door because we're doing it in the back seat. Oh!
This is the back seat.
Oh, my Toyota Prius, because this is the quietest place we could find nearby.
Yeah, so when everyone comes up with excuses, this is exact example of finding no excuses. We found a way to make it happen. We made it happen. And now we're going to talk about international relations, language, using social media to build a global presence, and leadership.
Bam, so, I love it. I already love this. Let's do this.
So, give us a little background about yourself and tell us why we had to do this episode.
Why we have to do this episode? I have the honor of being on your show. So, let's see here. My name is Ivan Raiklin, and I am a polyglot. I speak, depending on the day, time of the week, it's 5 to 7 languages. I got English, Russian, Spanish, a little bit of French, Arabic, and what else is out there? I understand Ukrainian and Portuguese, since it falls into the Slavic realm, the Ukrainian,
that's
with
impressive.
My Russian, and the Portuguese falls into, I guess, the Latin-based languages, which I speak Spanish fluently. So there you have it. That's kind of me in a nutshell as far as what languages I speak, and I've dabbled a little bit internationally, spending some time in the Republic of Georgia. That's not Atlanta, Georgia. That's Tbilisi, Georgia,
yes.
If you're thinking.
Yes.
In the international train of thought. And then aside from that, a little time in Central and South America, like Honduras, El Salvador, a little Bolivia, a little Ecuador, dabble a little bit in Guatemala. Where else?
That's crazy, man.
Mexico, of course. Come on. That's just south of the border.
That's crazy. The first thing I'm going to say is, how do you just pick up languages quickly?
Oh, it's constant exposure. So basically, I'm a maniac when it comes to podcast consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to different podcasts. That's from tech startups, and then a bunch of them I listen to in different languages. So RFI is the Radio France International. I listen to some of their broadcasts, especially the ones about Radio France.
Radio France International, yeah.
So their basic French program, which is geared more towards the Francophone community in Africa, which it's a lot easier because, again, my French is not really solid, but I do still, I can communicate at a basic level.
Yeah.
And what else? Different shows. I watch TV5 when I can, France, Again, being based out of DC, you get all these international channels. But now with all podcasting, video capability, live streaming, I'm able to consume it anywhere on the go. And pretty much I consume all that stuff while I'm working out, while I'm swimming, while I'm whatever, doing something else. That doesn't really slow me down from doing anything.
No, I love it. And what you said that I loved was that you you listen through the digital world that we live in. So if it's radio, RFE. You've got TV Sync with the TV.
Yes.
You find a way to connect, and you didn't use the excuse of not being able to travel to that country to learn the language.
Right, it's free.
Yeah, it's free, and it's a way for you to.
I don't need to travel.
and that's so true, because I think a lot of people get caught up with the idea of I can't get the language if I'm not necessarily, you know, in that area. And there's some truth to that a little bit, you know, to speak like the locals, but. You
got to figure out how to scale. If you can't do it, then go to the next step down.
Exactly.
Ideally, I would like to go into France and Paris and then
and all those there. Countries, yeah.
But if I can't do that, what's the next best step? Then start a show on Blab.
Yep.
That's the next best step. And if they can't do that, then you go ahead and go to the next step of listening to on a podcast, watching TV, doing it. And as you get better at the language, why waste time?
Practice
double,
makes perfect.
2x it.
Practice makes perfect. And so you just mentioned Blab. That segues right into the next topic I want to talk about. How do you use social media to build an international and global presence? And you and I are both Blab addicts. And for those of you that don't know about Blab, you're going to hear about Blab soon, because the last episode was a Blab episode basically recorded. And it's like Periscope meets Google Hangouts. But this guy next to me does 10 shows a week. I mean, I've done like 6, and I've only been on for a week, but he does 10.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
I just started the 10 shows a week about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I'm loving it. I think I found my cadence.
Yep.
As Gary Vee likes to say.
Yeah.
And I like that that word in this instance.
Yeah.
So basically, I have a show almost every Sunday through Thursday, 9 p.m. And on Saturdays, I just totally kill it. Because again, you know, for those of you that are listening that have a full-time job or saying, oh, I can't, I'm busy, I'm this and that. Nah. There's too much time in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do with it. So what I end up doing with it is I do my little, what most people call a full-time job. I call it my part-time thing, which is a 40-hour job.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the time out of the, you know, I waste 40 hours a day of a week, mm-hmm. out of 168 hours,
mm-hmm.
in the week. And that leaves me about 60 hours of good quality, solid time to do the side hustle, which I consider my full-time.
Full-time job. Yeah, so switch.
Blab. You want me to get into the...
Oh, please get into it. Then what I want to ask you is give us some steps as to how you use... Because you just got on social media in February, you said, and now you have a big presence.
I started researching in February, and then I basically started trickling in on social media a few months later.
Wow, that's crazy. So how did you get to that level to research, and then how did you just start growing a platform? Because now people from different parts of the world listen to you, come watch your content and consume your content, and they know about you. So what did you do? I mean, because, you know, not everybody is social media savvy.
Right, exactly. So let me give a little bit of context. Let me back up a little bit, and then we'll get to the question. And if I forget to loop it back in, please interrupt.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
So, because I love talking about different things. So here we go. February, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go all in, be an entrepreneur, and essentially start building my engagement platforms to be able to essentially teach other people what I've learned. Because throughout my life, I've learned quite a few things, you know, from foreign languages, from being an attorney. I'm also, doing that a little bit. And just learning, constantly learning, and figuring out the most efficient way to do things. So I figured out that podcasting is probably the most efficient way to consume information.
Uh-huh.
In order to be able to teach, you have to know. In order to know, you have to learn. In order to learn, you have to consume content. And you have to curate that content in a way so that it's efficient for other people and that's how they find utility in it, and then you can monetize off of that, right?
Uh-huh.
Because you're saving them time. That's uh-huh. how you make money, right? That's one way to make money. So anyway, I went in, did the analysis of all the different podcasts that I need to know about in order to learn about all the things that I'm passionate about. And then I started listening to it at 2x, 3x, whatever the maximum capability is on Overcast. I did that. Whatever the maximum capability using the, by reading, listening to audiobooks, I found that platform. And for example, the voiceover feature on iPhone.
Right.
Boom. So I listened to it at max speed so that I can consume it. But I don't want to waste my time and sit and read books. I want to do it while I'm working out. Right?
Yeah.
So I can consume a book. I can essentially consume one book equivalent a day, and without really changing my lifestyle, while commuting in mm-hmm. to your full-time job mm-hmm. while coming back or while you're working out during the middle of the day. So that's literally, if you count all that up, it's an average of about 2.5 hours worth of your day. Mm-hmm. And you can consume one full book, about a 200-plus page book in that time frame. So now, I'm an expert, right? Mm-hmm. If you can consume that amount of information and retain it, you're now considered an expert in that field. So a lot of people say you can't be... You can either be like a mile wide and an inch deep, or you can be a mile deep and an inch wide. But I think with these hacks, mm-hmm. I can do both. Mm-hmm. That was a question you asked me before we started this episode. Yeah. I think that is the key to success in being a mile deep and a mile wide.
And so with that, so no,
now
with social media, yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect, because I was right there with you, Tao. So learning about how to do, like, you have to bring value to people.
Right.
So I learned it, went to conferences after learning, like, having enough in my repertoire to be able to throw out the right buzzwords for people to think that I'm credible in what I'm saying.
True.
Right? And so now, you know, going to those conferences, meeting the right people, so now I'm building myself up. And as I'm going, getting ready to go to these conferences, you basically give people shout-outs, right?
Uh-huh.
For what they do. Because I consume so much stuff from other people.
Yeah.
And now I'm returning the favor by saying, hey, your content is great. Now, granted, I've consumed so much, so I can relate what's good and what's not. And so for the top performers, I give them shout-outs. And then they recognize that I exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Start engaging with them. And then that's through social media. You start connecting with those folks, whether it's in LinkedIn or Twitter or Facebook. And then just really, I mean, I'm not buying anything from them, but I'm building their brand recognition
mm-hmm.
because they're doing things that are good. So that's one aspect of social media. And then I was about to launch my own podcast because I'm a podcast maniac. Why not start my own?
Right.
I was going to start one. Right after attending the podcast movement mm-hmm. in Fort Worth, Texas, early August.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that I knew what the community was about, what information gaps I had in terms of the technical side and getting the podcast going. I felt comfortable at the end of that podcast that I was ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
So in the middle of me starting to launch my podcast, I hear about Blab. So Brian Fanzo is a big social media expert here. He just moved down to Fredericksburg, Virginia, just south of where I live. And one of his periscopes, he comes on, he's like, I'm blabbing. And I'm seeing, like, in the background, a live stream 4-panel screen of his computer. Oh, it took me, like, maybe 1.5 seconds to immediately open that app and say, you know what? I'm all in on this platform. Because my strength is interpersonal communications.
Right, it is. That's how we got here.
Yeah, so, like, Meerkat Periscope, it's one way.
Yeah.
I can't do anything when I'm just literally talking to myself and reading some text. I'm not a guy that likes text wars,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then having miscommunications because you can't understand the sarcasm
True.
Or the jokes that are involved in texting.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first platform out there that's video to video, seamless, way better than Google Hangouts because we've all had issues.
Yeah, we have.
And then, bam.
Instant feedback, too. Instant feedback, and it's also one of the things that, you know, as a podcaster who does Blab, is it does test your hosting ability. And because you have to guide the conversation, and that forces you to really be specific if it's content you're talking about. It also forces you to engage the right way. Because then I'm like, okay, you see that.
Right.
And then you get almost a third eye, you're like, you're even more aware, and you're looking at the engagement level because you can see when someone drops and when someone comes back on.
Yes.
Because you can
yes.
see, like, okay, I got to stay on point.
You got to keep everybody interested and engaged.
Yeah.
You have to be, the key thing is you got to be interested. And interesting.
Yes.
And the key thing to be interesting is, you know, you got to have a little bit of charisma and really have that emotional intelligence of looking at somebody, their nonverbal cues to determine whether or not you're still being interested. Like right now, you're looking at some notes, but I was going to see if you're looking at your text, but you're not. You're actually trying to get this back on track so that you're
exactly.
Managing your show.
Exactly.
I like that.
No, I love it. And
I picked up on that. That's things that you pick up as you're practicing.
Nonverbal cues. And the thing is, we're using social media to build a global presence, right? It's
Oh yeah.
The fact that the digital media is you know, it makes the world flat and
you
anyone
I love you.
Anyone.
I had another hour long conversation based on just that word.
Yeah, yeah. And word flat and anyone can turn in and tune in to see your blab at any time.
Fareed Zakaria, you probably read a little bit about him.
Yeah, okay, absolutely. Keep going. Yeah, and I'm just curious because you said you were going to do the podcast and you realize this is the platform where I can make an impact and can have conversations, invite people to come on. And I just started like a couple months after February, and now I'm building this presence where I have an engaged audience who will eventually evangelize my content because they buy into who I am.
Yes, yes, exactly.
That's the presence.
So, I mean, amen to everything you just said,
mm-hmm.
for those of you that subscribe to that term, and good stuff. So as far as, internet, you're talking about the global presence and flatness.
So yes.
Obviously, I'm a voracious reader of international affairs issues.
Yes.
You know, foreign affairs, foreign policy. I just, Free Zakaria, his show on Sundays, Global Public Square. I've listened to every single episode.
Okay, I got to check it out.
You've heard of him?
Yeah, no, I got to check it out. I've heard of him, but I haven't heard of the show.
There's a podcast Sundays. Yeah. It's on Sundays, but when it's recorded on the show live, and then on Monday evenings now. It used to be Tuesdays. Now they're doing it earlier. The release is on Mondays.
Okay.
So it's actually sometimes now before my show on Where Nothing Is Foreign, which is great because I use some of the content to kind of like make sure that
makes sense.
Not use some of the content, but reference it and tie it into the discussion. So as far as the world being flat, I want to really hone in on that. Yeah. That's one of the statements that I've made throughout on Blab, like, we are in an age where the world is completely flat. You can communicate and engage with anybody you can think of as long as you literally want to. Mm-hmm. It may take you a couple tries, you know, just like waiting in the line in the cafeteria. Sometimes, you know, the queue is a little longer, but still, you can still catch the attention of anybody on the planet. And as you're becoming more interested in them, you're bringing them value because you're pretty much evangelizing what they're doing, and they're going to reciprocate that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, like, all right, we had the Twitter platforms. That was like the first step up.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, it's to the point where I can now scale my number one reason why I'm doing all this. My why, my Simon Sinek why, is...
You keep bringing all these people.
Come on, I read a little bit. And so, I'm talking about how it's flat. What was I getting at?
The why, how the world's flat. Yeah, and the why.
I want to meet everybody on the planet and bring some sort of value, whether it's a smile on their face or teach them something new that they didn't know.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is Blab.
And you know, for me, my goal is to create a culturally aware generation. I honestly believe that in order to build the next set of global leaders in the right way, they have to know how to communicate across cultures and think outside the box.
Yes.
Those are my two things, and that's why
Par français,
si
un poco español.
Yeah, see, I can't do that, but... Entiendo solo un poquito. But what I was trying to get at is I really believe in that cross-cultural communication. And I believe that with digital platforms, there's a way to do it and there's a way to understand. A lot of the problems I believe in today's world are because people don't understand from the other person's perspective.
I have a story behind that.
Yeah. And I think once we start using and seeing it as a calling and using it as a purpose, that's when we actually get the fans, the evangelists, and the people buy into what they do. Because one, they feel heard, they feel represented, but they also buy into your story because they feel like you're talking to them and not at them. It's like you're speaking their language.
All right. Every single thing you say, I have a story behind.
Story. Tell me. And then we'll wrap it up with your difference.
Gotcha. So talking about how cross-cultural communications, if you can't speak somebody's language, whether it's in the same language, like a subcultural language, whether it's slang, using vernacular that is only known in that whatever niche, people aren't going to, like, trust you.
Yeah.
You need to start throwing out the terminology. Then they know exactly that you've experienced things that are similar, etc. So, again, that's context. The story I wanted to get to. In New York City, a lot of people are fresh immigrants from other countries.
True.
You're from New York.
I'm from Nigeria, but I live in New York, yeah.
All right, but Nigeria, English-speaking population, so you're not really somewhat in the story that I'm talking about, but you still will understand.
Trust me. There is Nigerian sector, the African sector, the other sector.
But here's what I'm getting at. If you live in a neighborhood or like an apartment complex where, or sharing a house where the person upstairs speaks Korean only, and I'm just using examples.
Yeah.
It could be any language, any other culture. Korean upstairs, and it only speaks Korean, doesn't speak English or any other language. Another person, such as yourself, you speak Russian and only Russian. Another person below you is a new immigrant that's from, I don't know, let's think of something, Indonesia, or name country X. And then you, as an American, only speaks English.
Yeah.
And now, there's something that your neighbor is doing that's, you know, it's annoying. You can't really, like, you don't like. Whereas if you knew that person's language, you could diplomatically communicate and say, hey, what's going on? Because you've already established that relationship of saying hi, but because you can't communicate at all with each other, you can't even say hi to establish some sort of level of rapport. So then that annoyance becomes a grievance. Uh-huh. That grievance becomes... It starts to percolate, and then it boils over to the point like, I can't deal with this, and then you explode on them.
Yeah, right?
Whether
so
it's
true.
A verbal expletive, etc. And it's all because of one little piece where you could have just said, hey, if you don't mind, like,
turn it down.
I love your music and everything, but I got kids. I mean, if you can just try to keep it a little bit down, it's not that loud, but a little bit down after, say, 10 o'clock, that'd be great. I mean, you don't have to, but And that already, like, plants a seed diplomatically, like, please be considerate.
Yeah.
If you don't know the language, you can't do it. And to take that to the cultural level, if you can't communicate with your neighbor that's maybe Hispanic background or African-American background that uses different, like, nuances and language, different vernacular. It's just, we all use different words
We communicate
based on our experiences. Mm-hmm. And if you're open to be able to understand that, then you can start using, you know, cross-pollinating ideas and language.
So true. Right? I mean, I can't, I mean, that's the exact point of what I do, and you are so spot on.
We're co-hosting. It's,
Oh, we're co-hosting. First of all, we're doing it. We're doing a blob, and we're doing it. We're gonna make it work. But it is so true, though. I feel like it permeates
that's what
society.
Causes the friction in New York, because a lot of people can't diplomatically come to a resolution or a compromise.
Yeah, I live in Washington Heights. It's people affectionately call it like DR. Dominica.
Oh man, I'm originally from Inwood.
So we're called 15 blocks north of you. Yeah. So I know I come across these issues all the time, and I'm like, man, I can hear both. I'm like, if you guys just understand what the other person's trying to say, it'll be helped so much. But as we wrap up, I want you to give us a chance for us to understand where we can find you, and then also tell us how we could use how you use your difference to make a difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How you can find me? My last name is Raiklin, Raiklin, and let's see here. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can kind of see everything I'm involved in on there. My background. You can kind of extrapolate from what else I do based off of that. Twitter, Raiklin.
Raiklin.
Facebook, just type in Raiklin.
Uh-huh.
Everything, you can just type in Raiklin and reach out to me, depending on what platform of choice is for you, because I want to make it easier for you.
Uh-huh.
And then also what was the question?
Oh, no. Well, you know, I'm going to pause on that because I just remembered another question I want to ask you. Global business. How can people build businesses globally right now? Because you're an investor as well, right?
I am an angel investor.
You're an angel investor
in the sharing economy space.
Sharing economy space. So I'm very interested in that sharing economy space and what that happens. Okay. Because I think one of the benefits of having a global mindset is that it opens your mind, but also allows you to think uniquely and solve problems in different ways. So maybe you have a story on that, and then we'll close with how you use your difference to make a difference.
All right, so as far as, I guess there's two topics you touched on that kind of contextual statement and question. So the first piece on the sharing economy piece. So we got, I'm an advisor and an investor in a couple startups. Piazza is a DC-based startup that takes the Craigslist model and takes it into, like, today's day and age where you can verify users, cashless transaction, but only premium goods. So the barrier to entry is a little higher because we want to keep the riffraff off of the platform.
Gotcha. Right?
Another one is Guard Llama we talked about. I won't talk about that because that's not a sharing economy company. Another one is called TheIntelligenceCommunity.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a freelance marketplace for the national security arena, similar to Elance.
Yes, Upwork, yeah.
So take that model, applies to the national security space. It verifies people's clearances and capabilities, linguistic ability, cultural attuneness to be able to apply it to national security requirements, right?
Okay.
So those are a couple of pieces in the sharing economy. But there's other ones out there. I wanted to kind of mention a few where the listeners can actually gain value from and actually earn a little side hustle from.
Okay.
So right now, as we are speaking, because I drove up here. But usually during the week when I'm not using my vehicle, I actually rent it out. And I make usually about $500 to $600 a month of just passive income off of that.
Oh, wow.
So the two companies that do that, depending on where you live, if you're in an urban area, there's Getaround.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started on the platform in Northern Virginia since they launched. And guess who was the first one on that platform in Northern Virginia?
This guy.
Because I know the co-founders.
Yeah.
So they contacted me as soon as they were able to.
Always first guy on it. First guy in. All right.
So that platform. But then if you live in a rural area or where Get Around doesn't exist, then you can use Relay Rides. And basically you register your vehicle on the platform, you put the price, you take some photos, and you basically say, hey, this is my vehicle for rent.
Mm.
Start making me money.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's one platform. Obviously, you've heard of other ones like Uber, Lyft, Sidecar, Split. Those are in the rideshare industry. Postmates, DoorDash, where you can deliver food to people in urban areas. And I just met last night another company that I'm probably going to be... I'm working out a term sheet with them this week to either invest or take a piece of equity based on an advisory role with them. and I won't say the name of the company yet. Obviously, it's not finalized yet.
Yeah, and,
but it's also in that space. It basically saves you time by providing you amalgamation of services, of essentially, your dual earners in the family, both working, so you don't have much time to take care of the kids, this and that, do all of these little chores. So for like $40 a week, you hire someone collectively, like your 10 neighbors hire collectively this one personal assistant employee to be able to manage cleaning your house, buying groceries, delivering that, taking care of, like, folding, doing laundry, folding it, this and that, all in the comfort of your own home. Boom.
So that sharing economy has allowed you to create passive income, essentially.
Yes.
And then you've also...
Or earn another side hustle.
And you also, and sometimes I imagine you build relationships with a lot of these people.
Yes. And that's the main reason why. Yeah. A lot of people ask me, like, what? I mean, you're successful. Why are you driving for Uber? Why are you driving for Lyft? This and that.
Yeah.
Like, when you're making...
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. He's like, I'm okay. I'm doing all right.
I'm okay. So I'm like, hey, that's market research.
Yeah. That's how you think.
Why are you doing it? Mindset. Because I'm networking.
That's a global mindset.
I'm driving for Uber. It's a mindset. I got somebody in my car for 15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You own somebody after 20 minutes if you're engaging. Because when I say own somebody, you own their attention.
Yeah.
Meaning, if you don't, then you got to work on your interpersonal skills.
Mm.
Like right now, I'm listening to everything you're saying. Hopefully...
Oh, I'm taking it in. I'm taking it in. I've already passed the notes, so I'm done.
If I can provide value, like, as I get to know somebody, and I'm like, the first thing I ask is, what are you about? And then, usually in my little repertoire of, whatever, hundreds of books I've read, I can provide a little nugget that might, or recommend you contact somebody that's going to be able to get you to that next level.
Next level.
So I'm bringing value to every single person I engage with. When I'm driving for Uber, Lyft, I don't do it anymore now. I make money off of referrals. But it gave me that market analysis of, what can this platform be used for? How can I evangelize it? And plus, I consider myself a sharing economy entrepreneur, and getting to the point where, I mean, other people can call me expert, but I could say that, I've learned a lot about the platforms. So you learn about you learn by doing. We had a keynote a little earlier today. You learn by doing. So I drove for Uber, figured it out. Now I can advise anybody on, hey, should I drive for Uber? Should I drive for Lyft? Should I do sidecar? What are the differences, discrepancies from both standpoints as a passenger and as a driver?
And that's how so developing global mindsets involves doing, putting yourself out there, sharing economy, and focusing on building relationships.
And then the second part of that was international business.
International business.
How do you scale?
Yeah.
Or how do you get involved in international business?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to... everything involves communication. And as we get to every square inch of the planet, having a live stream feed on it, literally, we're getting there.
We are.
The Internet of Things.
We are. Yeah.
Appliance, car, etc. Everything's going to be live fed. And you got to be transparent. And the best way to be transparent, engaging, and interesting with someone, you have to be able to work on the interpersonal skills.
Right.
And then once people feel comfortable with you, because you understand their culture, where they're coming from, and engaging with them, then they start to build that trust with you, and then that trust turns into, here's a recommendation, or here's a product that I have, here's a service that I provide. If you're interested, please use my service. But you've already captured their attention, gained their trust, so now when you do offer something, they know without any reservation it's going to bring them value, and that's where you can monetize.
And for those people listening who are thinking, I want to have that global presence, but I suck. I'm shy. I'm that type of person. I suck at talking to people. What do you say to them?
That's an easy answer. If you're an introvert and you're shy, but you still want to kind of get into there, you get really nervous, lurk. Be a lurker. And what I mean by that is go on to Blab, for example, and watch what other people are doing that are in the space that you want to get into. Mm-hmm. See what they're doing. Read, listen. And then once they say something that you can either correct in a diplomatic way or add something to the discussion that will be valuable to those that are going to read what you post, that's when you start engaging.
Because
then you start making a name for yourself of a person that only speaks when they're bringing some sort of value.
Wow.
And then that's powerful. As you get confidence based off of that, because then you'll get positive feedback that you're bringing value to the discussion, that'll start building your own personal internal confidence. And then you're going to break out of that shell of, you know what? Why am I scared? These guys are actually complimenting me.
Yeah.
And then it builds. And then it snowballs. And then that snowball becomes a boulder. and then now you're a keynote speaker.
That is crazy, and that is so true. And I was just looking at the shift. I was like,
I just thought of that right now.
Yeah, well, you know, that's it's just natural. That's all natural. All right, but okay. So we've done a lot of talking. We talked about how you picked up languages. Talk about how you don't have any excuses and how you use every opportunity you have to build relationships. We're at a freaking podcast right now, podcast conference, and we're recording a podcast, which is ironic, and we're talking about future collaborations. And we had never met before. You know, in fact, prior to meeting, I was just telling him I had seen him on Twitter the other day, and I was like, what are the odds they would run into the same conference? And now we're talking about future collaborations. But that came about from you making the introduction and you just like saying, when you go to conferences, you look for engagement. You're looking for providing value and all that. And then you got me to, like, do a car. This is the first time I've ever done a podcast in a car. In the bags into a car. You got me to do that. And now I'm thinking, I'm just looking. I was some studying the tools you had. I was like, okay, I got to start doing this more. Because I can do podcasts almost every day and blab and do this type of opportunities if I really just...
Always have the capabilities put to myself, do it with you. And then you find your target.
Exactly.
You make your own luck.
You make your own luck.
And you find your targets of opportunity, right?
Yeah. And I guess that, you know, you already talked about how you use your difference to make a difference, but how would you say that in one sentence?
How do I use my difference to make a difference? So.
Wide and deep.
I'm maniac. Yeah. Basically, I maniacally consume valuable content and take the best nuggets and share it.
That's it.
Oh, you can't go wrong with that.
No. No, we
and
can't.
Then you build trust.
You're always providing value. Always providing value. And there's that saying, always be closing, always be creating. That's what I always like to say. You create to create, and then it's
I guess my strong point, I guess to a little bit further on that same question is, I think my strong point, and it took me years to refine.
To get it.
I have another story for maybe another time, because we're wrapping up on time. You always want to be interested, like I was saying, interesting. So you want to, you know, continuously engage.
Yes.
And you get that feedback. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, you can get immediate feedback. Whereas before, 5 years ago, my interpersonal skills weren't as sharp as they are now. But through engaging, going to conferences, getting feedback, incorporating that feedback, not, you know, having thick skin. And basically saying, you know what? If two or three people that are pretty successful are saying the same thing, that's pretty, I mean... If it may not be fact, but it is now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Perception is reality, and perception becomes fact.
So true.
So you need to start making adjustments. Now, granted, don't change who you are, but make it so that you can still be who you are, but still be able to connect with others.
Use your difference.
Everything is a compromise.
Use your difference to make a difference.
There
we go. Thank you so much, Ivan, for coming on. I really appreciate
it. Thanks for listening to me.
Whoa, it was a pleasure, man.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to use your difference to make a difference, as well as for show notes, head over to www.uydmag.com. Till next time, go out and make an impact in your world.